Us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Datzer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Datzer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Bienvenido en nuestro especial de Cinco de Mayo Extravaganza.
Or as they say in Mexico, welcome to our 5th of May special. Frank, where did you learn to yell like a mariachi?
As a mariachi, I was in a band called Los Trovadores. Sí-ha!
Oh yeah, did you wear those sombreros with those little hanging-down dailies on the side?
I did, and I wore the pants with the frogs. And there's actually when I went to my violin teacher to tell him I'd gotten into a mariachi band.
Yeah.
I said, "Is there anything I should know about the Mexican style?" And he said, "Well, yes. I'm so glad you asked me. Play badly."
Oh, that's not fair. I don't want to hear about the frogs in your pants. Okay.
Bob, listen, at the end of last week's show, you did something that I consider to be very disruptive, which threw me completely off my game.
And what was that? I kind of like last week's show. We had on Tommy Hyland, and he was pretty cool.
Yes, well, that was the problem. You agreed with me. I mean, I had like almost a full minute of prepared rebuttal, which suddenly became completely irrelevant to your due to your annoyingly conciliatory remarks. I mean, if we're going to maintain a good balance and show flow, you need to stop unexpectedly agreeing with me. Do you agree?
Absolutely not.
Excellent. All right. We ended with a discussion last week of structured learning for new VP strategies, and this is going to come into play very soon, isn't it? Though we can't discuss yet.
We're going to hint on that during the commercial section.
We're going to hint?
Yeah, we're going to hint on it. This week we have three.
I think we should actually do it, you know, like they do presidential campaigns. I think we should form a committee to decide whether or not we're going to announce our decision to announce that we're going to be announcing something.
We do have this committee, and and whatever your vote is, I vetoed it. So go on.
Anyway, structured learning. Where I'm trying to go with this is I'm actually trying to incorporate aspects of what's called super learning. Have you heard of super learning?
No.
There's been a lot of research done on the best way for people to learn new things. Okay. And I'll just read you a quick quote here that I got off the internet. In the last two decades, there's been a tremendous amount of research conducted on multisensory learning theory. Researchers have found that the human brain learns best through multisensory association, not rote memorization. A child will learn best, for example, if he or she is engaged in a learning activity that uses sight, sounds, emotions, tactile feedback, spatial orientation, and even smell and taste.
Okay, so we're going to introduce smell to our video poker strategies. I think this is a good idea, right?
Yes, we are. Do you know of all the senses, the one that forms the strongest memories?
Well, I don't know. I would think touch, but...
It is, in fact, smell.
Oh, see, I was close.
Yeah, it is, in fact, smell. And so I'm going to recommend that people get, like, a different, you know, scented oil and put it on each strategy so that each strategy has an individual aroma.
So lemon would be Jack's or better. And as far as I'm concerned, Joker Wild can have a skunk smell. But go ahead.
No, Jack's or better is toasted almond.
Toasted almond, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it actually matters as long as it's different for each person and they associate it with a strategy. Anyway, what I'm going to do is to hopefully work with you this weekend and do a structured learning thing for a simple strategy so we can do it kind of as a test. But I'm going to post on my website tonight the basics of super learning for video poker. And I'm sure that there are people out there right now that are going to think, well, this stuff is silly. They tried this in a few schools, and it takes a lot of energy and expense, which the schools simply don't have. But when it was done, kids increased 2 to 3 grade levels. 2 to 3 grade levels.
Good. And this is actually kind of important because in the next several weeks, we're going to be introducing strategies to games that most people out there currently are not playing.
That's correct. We are. And I'll just give you an example of super learning.
Okay.
Let's say you're reading something that you want to memorize. You speak what you're actually reading so that you then say it. And you don't merely say it in a normal voice. You say it 3 times, once as a whisper, once in a normal voice, and once as a shout. Turns out that each different one, a way of saying it, every time you hear something a different way, it forms additional neural connections in different parts of the brain that connect to each other. And as I said, I mean, this is not voodoo science. This is something that is well-researched and absolutely does work.
The shouting part seems to work better for those people who do not have roommates or neighbors.
Well, you know what I'm saying. But there are aspects of this that are going to seem strange to you. Mm-hmm. Once you try them and you see how well it works,
they'll likely still seem strange. Now, last week we forgot to give away a call-in prize. So why don't we do that off the bat?
You want to do the call-ins like right now?
Yeah, why not? That way we cannot have a Frank moment and forget about them.
Okay, I did manage to give those tickets away.
Good.
To somebody from VP Free over the weekend.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay. All right, great. So this is going to be for Saturday, May 21st. We're going to open up the phone lines here for people to call in. What do you want to take, the third caller, second caller? What do you want to do, Bob?
The 32nd caller? No.
Third. How about third?
All right, third.
All right, the call-in numbers are 731-1230 if you're local. That's area code 702-731-1230. If you're from out of town and you're going to be here on May 21st, it's 866-820-5528. Now this we're in a new location, by the way. We're in a nice new studio here. This will be our first time getting calls here at the studio. This is going to be for Bob Marley, not the singer. Is Bob Marley the comic? Very interesting.
It would be more impressive to have tickets to Bob Marley the singer.
Well, he's dead, Bob.
That's part of the reason it would make it more impressive if we could have a concert with him.
Yes, well, yes. I don't think it would be a very good concert, though. Mm. I mean, he's not a Grateful Dead. Oh, okay. Anyway. All right. Mental note to self, no more ad libs.
I forgive you for that one.
Very interesting trivia. He entered the Guinness Book of World Records with the longest continuous stand-up routine over 40 hours with any repetition of material.
40
hours of stand-up. This guy is like a stand-up comedy legend.
Wow.
Does anyone want to call in for 731-1230? We're not getting any lights. Apparently no one wants to go see Bob Marley.
I would like to know that the phone lines work because Max Rubin's going to be calling in a few minutes, and Max Rubin is a legend.
Max Rubin is a legend. All right, well, we'll take the first caller since we haven't gotten any, and we're still not getting any calls. So why don't we move on? If you call in the next 10 minutes, you're going to get Bob Marley tickets. And if you haven't heard of him, he's apparently very, very, very good.
All right, so shall we do some commercials while we're waiting for Max?
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
All right, South Point. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker machines, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody anywhere else in the world. South Point is giving a car away every day in May. That's 31 cars. They're Toyotas, either Priuses or Celicas. Priuses or Camrys. You earn drawing tickets up to a maximum of 250 per day, requiring $1,250 coin in, and you swipe. You have to swipe your card, and you get 5 additional tickets. The drawings are held about 8:20 every night, and you have until 8:30 the following night to collect. In addition to the car winner, two people will each receive $250 in gas cards. There's a small additional bonus if you're actually there for the drawing when you win. This is a great promotion for low rollers. And then nobody can swamp your entries by playing a ton. So I can't play $100,000 and get any more tickets than the guy who plays $1,250. So now your odds aren't great for winning the car because there's only 31 cars going to be given away and there's going to be thousands of people trying. But they're better than you get anywhere else. Where else can you get this good of odds to get a free car? Now, speaking of low roller competitions or promotions at the South Point, every day in May, if you go online to www.southpointcasino.com, they have an online drawing for $50. So you fill in your name and address, and you're in, and you check back, and they'll give $50 every day to somebody. So that's a good low roller promotion. At the Palms, this Friday and Saturday, there's going to be the first slot man swap drawings. The way this works is the top three winners of the drawings get to play the slot man swap game. Now, they have four people, dressed up as slot machines. These are like washing machine size boxes. And they have their faces, and you may have seen them in, they have some clever commercials with George Maloof. So you may have seen these guys on TV. So each of the four guys, or girls, each of the four slot machines are given an envelope. One has a one, one has a two, one has a three, one has a four. So you put them in any order you want, and then they read them off as dollars. So if you get the absolute best, then you get $4,321. If you do the absolute worst, it's $1,234. So the average is almost $2,800. And so it's a kind of different way to do the drawings, and it's kind of cute. For the first half of the month, the play, earn, and win opportunities Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays is done for sweets, like candy, cupcakes, fudge, etc. Anything you want to ruin your diet. The top two awards are $100 or $50 gift certificates to Edible Arrangements. These guys make a large variety of fruit baskets, frequently with chocolate-covered strawberries. Finally, the Silverton. Every Friday in May, the Silverton is holding a 7 p.m. drawing, where 10 winners receive a total of $10,000 in cash or free play. Tickets are earned by playing your favorite machines. You need to be there to win. Tickets for the weekly drawing are good only the week they're earned, but there's a grand prize drawing at 9 o'clock on the last Friday of the month, May 27th, and so all tickets earned all month will be there in the barrel. The top prize will be $37,500 towards a new Mercedes, or in case you need a new Mercedes, or $30,000 in cash or free play if that's the way you want to go. There will also be four $1,000 cash or free play awards at the final drawing. From now until Sunday, at the Silverton, they're going to have the San Gennaro Italian-American Festival, which will be held on the grounds. This festival has been an annual event in Las Vegas for 32 years. You'll find Italian food, music, plenty of rides, and good times to be had by all. There'll be 2X multipliers for video poker this Saturday and 5X this Sunday, which is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. A 5X multiplier is pretty large for a slot club that returns 0.30% in free play. So that's like 1.5%. In the past, they would set some sort of limit on the bonus, and then the next day, if you earn more than that, they'd take them away. Now, you can't do that anymore because now you can download free play 24/7. So the way they've chosen to handle this is on the day you play, you're not going to see your free play. And the next day, you're going to get your bonus points up to whatever the maximum is, whether it's 50,000 or 80,000. I don't know what that maximum is. But on the day you're there, you're not going to get the free play. If you're an out-of-towner and you want your free play that day, they'll give it to you. You can go to the booth and they'll do it. But for most of us, come back the next day. That way, they can make sure that nobody exceeds the limit.
We have a winner for our giveaway, and we also have Max Rubin on the line.
Perfect. I'll get to Max in a second. I want a hint. I will call it a tease. Next week, we have a brand new sponsor. This is going to be a casino that will regularly have dollar progressives for more than $12,000 and quarter progressives for more than $3,000 every day. The progressive will be unlike any that most of you have ever seen before. I'll give you all the details in my Tuesday column that's on LVA.com. And Frank and I will be talking about it completely beginning next Thursday.
And I'm doing a special show close, actually, where I'm going to be singing karaoke. So
tonight?
No, not tonight. Next week.
Next week you're going to sing karaoke?
That's right. I'm going to sing alternate lyrics to The Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan.
Okay, good. I think I'm looking forward to that. Let me tell you about Max Rubin. Max Rubin calls himself the undisputed overweight comp champion of the world. Although there's one time back at the MGM Mansion 10 years ago, he admitted that I had out-comped him, and I had out-comped the comp meister, which rather pissed him off at the time. Max has worked as a casino employee and player for almost four decades. His book is called Comp City, and over the years, he has written numerous articles and spoken at a variety of seminars. He is often quoted, largely because he is very quotable, as you shall see. He hosts the Blackjack Ball every year, which we're going to talk about tonight. When I invited him for tonight's program, I was kind of in a smart-ass mood. And I told him that because today was Cinco de Mayo, he had to wear a sombrero and a serape while doing the show. It is hard to out-smart-ass Max Rubin. He responded that he would be wearing a clear plastic serape with nothing on underneath. The image of that is forcing me to do the entire interview with my eyes tightly shut.
Well, you can't see me either.
Hang on to your seatbelts, everybody. Max Rubens, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hey, glad to be here. There's a visual for you, huh?
I actually don't want to describe my visual.
I was just at a party, a meetup, a futuristic costume ball where there actually were people wearing clear plastic serapes. So,
yeah, but were they middle-aged, balding, overweight guys?
No, they were mostly young, alternative lifestyle.
Well, that's a different image altogether.
Bodybuilders.
That's another image.
How are you, Max?
I'm doing well. I am really having a difficult time hearing you. Can I call in on the other number and see if it comes in a little bit clearer?
Certainly. We'll stall for a second. You're going to call back on the other number?
Lots of static coming through right now.
Okay, call right back.
All right. Okay, good. So,
all right. So
now we stall for a minute.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard, should it?
Well, one of the stories I heard about Max Rubin was when he is in a, he was leading this contest where everybody had to get the right answers, and if you got the right answers, you would win some kind of prize. And he told everybody that we're all on the honor system, but he expected us to cheat a little bit. If we didn't cheat at all, then he would lose all respect for us whatsoever. So, Max, do we sound any better now?
This is perfect. Coming through loud and clear.
All right.
Outstanding.
Good. Now, last week we had on Tommy Hyland, and previously we've spoken to Stanford Wong, Johnny Chang, and we're trying to get Arnold Snyder. All of these guys are in the Blackjack Hall of Fame, which you were instrumental in founding. Tell us about that.
Well, long ago, I knew a lot of these blackjack players, and I threw this party called the Blackjack Ball, and we brought everybody together, and we wanted to figure out a way to honor the guys that had made significant changes for players or had fantastic careers out in the business. So we bring all these people together every year, and we have a vote from the top professionals in the world, and they elect people into the Blackjack Hall of Fame. And the three people you talked about, those were three of the original inductees of the original seven, Tom Hyland and Stanford Wong. And John Chang wasn't one of the originals. John was inducted 2 years ago, formerly with the MIT team, and made famous from the Kevin Spacey movie 21. And he Kevin Spacey was very, very loosely based on John Chang's character in the book, Bringing Down the House.
John denies any similarities between him and Kevin.
But so does anybody who knows John.
Yes, yes.
Well, he's got awesome kids, too. We took him to dinner, and they were climbing all over me.
All right, so.
Yes, well, little Andrew is a live wire, isn't he?
He yeah. is. I gave him actually some of my toys from childhood. I took him down to my storage, and I gave him some of my my childhood artwork and stuff.
Yeah, and Amanda's a sweetheart, so we'll good. Now, you wrote a book called Comp City, which demystified how players are rated in the table game pits. Not only did it tell you how you get rated by the casinos, it kind of told you how to beat the system and how to sneakily take advantage of the system. So for a little bit of action, you can get a lot more comps than what the casino had originally planned. Now, that book was...
And the whole premise was based upon playing a game of perfect strategy, not having to become a card counter and not having to have the mathematical chops that the guys that you're speaking about have, but simply learning how to use a basic strategy chart and then how to manipulate your bets when they open up a rating and to appear like you're a much bigger player and much bigger loser than you really are, because although casinos say it doesn't matter, casinos love losers and they give losers more. So that's the whole premise, how to play a good game of blackjack and how to look like a much bigger player than you are so that you can exploit that comp system.
Or it doesn't have to be blackjack. It could be craps or baccarat.
Right, it could be craps. It could be a number of games. But one of the differences is the casino knows precisely what their edge is on a crap game. They know what the edge is on a three-card poker game. They don't know what their edge is on a blackjack game. And they make this assumption that players play anywhere between a 1% and a 1.5% disadvantage, when in fact, if you play a perfect game of strategy at a casino such as the Bellagio, for example, you're playing at around a 0.2% disadvantage. And what that really means is every time you put a $100 bet out there, you're only losing 20 cents, and the house thinks they're making about $1.20 to $1.50.
Huh.
And they comp you accordingly.
Wow. That is a good trick. Obviously, card counting, a huge part of that is...
No, he's not talking about card counting here.
No, I know he's not.
This isn't card counting. This is for the recreational gambler. This is the guy that can go in and have six or eight drinks and just have a good time and just refer to that little basic strategy card, whereas card counting is work. Comp counting is fun.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Big difference.
Comp counting, that's what you call it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good nickname.
I actually learned. I stopped being a table game player before I read Max's book. But a lot of the things he teaches in Comp City, I've applied as a video poker player, rather successfully.
I
can attest to that. I have shared in some pretty spectacular comps with Bob Dancer. Matter of fact, I told him one time he out-comped me, I believe that's what I said. Something to that effect.
Your quote was, I had out-comped the comp meister.
That's right, and he did. And that was a fabulous dinner over at the mansions. Maybe I shouldn't be telling that one, so I won't mention it.
Well, since I talked about it in the introduction, I forgive you.
Okay.
Apparently that was too staticky for you to hear.
Yeah, it was great.
Now, you mentioned the blackjack ball. Now, it's pretty famous. It's a secret, but yet a lot of people know about it. I got there once, and it was a lot of fun. And our guest 2 weeks from now, Michael Shackelford, I hear, was the champion most recently. So tell us about the blackjack ball and how do you define what a champion is.
Well, we have a series of contests, and we start off with 21 multiple choice questions, in which they have to answer questions about gambling across the United States and certain edges you may have on a game and different ways to gain the advantage over the casino. So it kind of winnows it down to a final table in which we have five different players. And every single time we've ever had the blackjack ball, those five finalists are all accomplished, either mathematicians or accomplished players. And this year, Michael Shackelford found himself at the table, and then we have a variety of things they have to do, everything that really matters, such as cutting and steering a card to a particular place, to using sophisticated index plays, which means that's a difference in basic strategy, which you would use based upon the composition of the deck so that you change your strategy. So there is a right time to actually hit that 14 versus a dealer 6, or to stand on the 13 versus a dealer 10, for example. That's
pretty rare that you would stand on a 13 against a 10.
It would have to be a pretty spectacular count, and or you're getting a hole card. There would have to be something else in the realm of advantage play where you would do that. But we go around the table and we circle it a couple times, and it's in a tournament format, and then we get down to the bottom two people. And this year we had the infamous Anthony Curtis going head-to-head, mano-a-mano, with Michael Shackelford to see who could count down a deck the fastest. And Michael Shackelford knocked him off by about a half a second and took home the title. And if you know Michael, he's a very, very low-key guy.
Yes, he is.
When he won that trophy, he was dancing around the room and holding it over his head.
Is that right?
I've never quite seen Michael behaving like that, but he was pretty happy about taking home the iron that year.
Has Anthony won it previously?
No, Anthony has never won it. He's been at the finals table, I believe, three times.
So this is, I still don't, I mean, by ball, usually I was thinking of a party. This is not a party?
This is a party. It's not a dance, but it's a party.
We sit down dinner. We have about 110 people there, and we have the elections into the Blackjack Hall of Fame. Then we have Calcutta wagering, where everybody bets on the different people, and then I assign teams. There's an MIT team and the Ladies of Gambling and one called the French team, and then the old-style gamblers and the Hall of Famers and whoever it may happen to be, and we've got about 10 to 12 different categories, and then they set all these wagers, and based upon those wagers, just like Calcutta wagering in a golf tournament, people buy these different teams out there. Then they play against each other, and then at the end we settle up, and we pay for first through fourth places at the final table.
Wow.
It's actually a lot of fun. Sometimes he asks them questions like spell surveillance or how like one time we had Tommy Hyland was our guest last week, and one year Tommy Hyland came as a blonde, and so Max asked if Tommy Hyland paid good money to get that hair color that way, and good money was defined as $10 or higher. So
the answer was no, I think.
I think the answer was yes.
On the look, I'm not sure if he said yes or not, but it was.
And whatever he said, that was the right answer.
How many of these shindigs have you held?
This year was the 15th.
15th?
Uh-huh.
I never knew anything about this. Of course, I know nothing about blackjack.
But that's why you're not invited. Once you become a world-class blackjack player...
Look, I know you're trying to get closest to 20. I know that.
Right. All right. Now, Max, you've said that casinos are evil and sinful places. Now,
I've said that many times, and I tell that to the people that are at now. All card counters believe that, by the way. So they know that those are the enemy. But many, many people that have read my book, they feel badly about asking for something from the casino. And I tell them that the casino's job is out there to take your money. And you look at some of the statements casino operators will make. Gary Loveman went on record within the last year.
Gary Loveman's the CEO of Harrah's, which is now called Caesars.
Yes, he went on record as saying that as far as he's concerned, is their company looks at gamblers as a set of probabilities sitting in a chair. So that's how much they care about you. They are out there just to get the money. And so I tell people, don't worry about that. Don't feel guilty because the casinos are out there. And I kind of jokingly say they're sinful places. I think casinos, honestly, they fulfill a basic human need for many, many people because the right-wing fundamentalists are trying to protect us against God, and the left-wing liberals are out there trying to protect us against ourselves. And between the two of them, they've engineered about most of the fun out of America, and casinos are one of the few places you can go where you don't know what's going to happen, and you can enjoy yourself and get totally immersed into something. So I think casinos really do serve a fundamental need for the average player. Now, as far as professionals such as Bob, they fulfill another need, too, because they make the house payments and take care of his retirement, but... From most people that like to gamble, it really is a fun thing as long as you bet within your means and you have some sort of discipline and don't destroy your life doing it.
I want you to know, Max, that was the wrong answer.
Sorry.
I have heard you say numerous times that...
We're doing the Lord's work.
That the casinos are sinful places, so if you get real good at gambling and go in and take their money, then you are doing the Lord's work. Now, I was hoping you would say that tonight.
I should have said that, but I've kind of changed my – I've mellowed out a little bit over the last 15 years.
Not to play devil's advocate here, but, casinos are also hotels and showrooms and, shopping venues and, you know, banks of restaurants. And hotels and restaurants and shows exist in other countries, in other venues where there are no casinos. And they're just considered to be a service industry where they're trying to make you happy and provide you with things that you want. And they also take your money for it. But, I mean, you know, is it really that different? Aren't they still providing a service?
They are. The casinos are providing a service for many, many people. And it's a fun thing to do. And it's not so much for the slot player or the video poker player, but from my world, it's also creates a lot of social events. And blackjack play, if you're with friends or if you're having to play on three-card poker or something, they are social events. And as you get older, there are very few places to go at night that aren't affiliated with they're not just going into a bar and drinking, where people like to go and be together. Now, Vegas is kind of off the charts as far as that's concerned, because they do come to Las Vegas for different reasons. But most gambling in America is in people's backyards. So it's gambling has become a very social thing throughout the rest of the land.
I think it would be very easy to come to Las Vegas, not put a coin in a machine or bet a dollar on a table, and have a great time doing all the other activities.
I agree.
But very few people do that.
Very few people do that, and Las Vegas isn't the most fun place to gamble anyway. They've got the 6-5 blackjack games. They've tightened up a lot of things. There are about 810 fewer blackjack tables in Las Vegas today than there were 10 years ago. Now, think about that. After that's with the opening of City Center and Encore and Wynn and all the other casinos out there, yet we have lost 25% of our blackjack tables because they just simply aren't as much fun to play as they were in the old days. Yet the casino owners never really understand why is that the people aren't playing as much, because it's not as fun anymore.
And how are you defining fun?
I'm defining fun is that the dealers aren't engaging, the bosses aren't engaging, the comps have become tougher. They treat it like you're in battle mode with them. Anybody that wins is typically not treated very well, and that you just don't have a great social experience. Where out in Tunica, for example, if you happen to live nearby there, or in
you're underwater
St. Louis,
if you live there,
or
there
other places, it's a much more relaxed social environment.
So you think maybe because of all the card counters and the people that were beating them, they've oversensitized to it, and now they mistreat everybody.
Right, and they're so wrong in what they do, because they should let these counters, they shouldn't let them just run willy-nilly over them. But down here at Barona, where I consult, we have the loosest blackjack game in the world. We have a single-deck game with surrender with all the great rules. It's break-even off the top. We've got great double-deck games. We have the loosest comps. We've got the loosest games. We've got the loosest slots, and we are busier than we've ever been in history. And we don't sweat the counters, and if we happen to get a card counter coming in and we finally identify that they're a card counter, instead of freaking out about it, we invite them to dinner, we go to lunch with them, we take them to the Blackjack Hall of Fame, which is sponsored by Barona, by the way, which is kind of interesting that a casino would honor these guys that were the pioneers of blackjack.
So you don't let these honorees play there, but you do honor them.
Well, it's kind of a don't let, but we have a deal with anybody that's in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. They are room, food, and beverage for life at Barona, including golf, to not play blackjack here. So they come down and have their vacations at Barona, so they get to stay in a casino where they're legends, too, and everybody likes to meet them and press the flesh, and they get to talk to table game managers and dealers and pit bosses, and everybody loves them. And it's kind of a unique thing, because typically a blackjack player who's a professional is a pariah in the business, but down here they're not.
Wow.
I'm curious, Max. You invented the Hall of Fame, and then a couple of years later, you got elected into this Hall of Fame that you invented to start with. Now, what's this?
I got to count the votes, so I put myself in.
As well, that makes sense.
If you invented it, you deserve to be in it. But
that's why it works.
Yeah, well, not quite sure that was how it worked, but I think I deserve to be in it simply because I wrote the Comp City and I exposed a lot of things.
And you hold the blackjack ball.
The center of the blackjack ball, and I'm kind of the center of the professional blackjack universe, so I know
yes,
lots
you are.
Of the guys out there. And so I have had fairly significant contributions.
But Max, I mean, I've talked to a lot of card counters, and one of the things that they said is the most important, you know, aspect of their business these days is being incognito and flying under the radar. So, I mean, isn't the Blackjack Hall of Fame list basically the worst blackjack professionals ever?
No, not if you count the amount of money they've won. No, it's not. And a lot
most famous though is bad right now. I'm joking with you.
I know you are, but we call there's a lot of grazers out there, and a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame are still out there playing. They're just not playing here, and the names are known. But if you tend to take a look at some of their pictures, if you'll go to some of the sites and look up Blackjack Hall of Fame, they really don't look like what their pictures look like. You would never recognize James Grosjean or Arnold Snyder and a variety of the other guys, Richard Munchkin, Daryl Purpose. You'd never know who those guys were. They could be sitting in front of you right now, and you wouldn't know who they are.
And some of them are like Peter Griffin, who's no longer here, or Stanford Wong, or Ed Thorpe, are not really there because they're successful players, but they're there because they're theoreticians and authors.
Right, and their contributions to the game as authors, that's right.
Okay, now we got about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Now, clearly you think Barona is the best place to play. Other than Barona, what if you had to pick two best places to play blackjack and two or three worst places to play blackjack, what would they be?
If I had to pick two or three good ones, I would pick Wynn Resorts. Because they've got pretty good comps, and they don't freak out, and they don't sweat it for all but the very, very biggest players. The Bellagio is still pretty damn good. There's some good games out there on the Las Vegas Strip. And those I would pick those. If you're a lower-limit player, I would say out in the hinterlands. Right now, they've still got a single-deck game downtown at the El Cortez. If you're a $10 to $25 player and you don't get greedy and push your bets up too much, that's a nice place to play. And they've got good comps, and they got damn good food, too.
And if you can't,
that's a pretty good place to play.
If you can't get kicked out of the El Cortez, you're not really trying very hard.
Well, you have we have all had that rite of passage. As far as a bad game to play, from the perspective that Bob and you guys are talking about, any place up and down the street that has 6-5 blackjack. Now, that being said, there is some value there. If you're an accidental tourist coming to town, you've only got a $300 or $400 bankroll, and you want some free drinks and you want to see dancing girls, well, that's okay. You're just paying a higher price to get to do that. But any place that has real bad rules, and the bad rules are pretty easy to see, and there's a lot of locals places out there around the country right now that have 6-5 blackjack, and they're just not good games. You just don't want to play them if you're looking to get an edge on the casino.
But you said the Wynn is good. That's also on the Strip, right?
Oh, yeah.
The
Wynn's definitely on the Strip. I'm surprised you said the Wynn. I'm not a blackjack player anymore, but they have these RFID chips inside the inside the chip, so they can tell exactly how much you're betting easily.
They do have RFID chips inside the chips, but they don't have the sensors on the tables. The only place they have the sensors is in the cage to do the counts right now. They never finished that project. So anybody that has the fear, the only places in Las Vegas that is using true RFID technology right now that I'm aware of is the Hard Rock, and you'll see that over at the Hard Rock, and they will push a button, and that will tell them what the average bet is. Yet it also doesn't track what the composition of the deck is or what the count is, so all it's doing is give them an accurate reflection of what the average bet is. But no casino has a full RFID suite in the world right now because they just dropped the ball. IGT bought all the technology, and basically they've just shelved it over the past couple of years. So that's not a threat to professional gamblers right now.
Good, that's good news.
What do you think of the Shuffle Masters technology? I mean, obviously that affected what Tommy was doing, right, which was shuffle tracking, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. That was, from the casino's perspective, it was a great invention. From Shuffle Master's perspective, it was a great invention. For shuffle trackers, it just ended the game.
Yeah, good friend of mine actually was a huge stock owner in Shuffle Master and did quite well.
They did very, very well for years, and the stock got up in the mid-30s, and then it crashed all the way down into the below $5, too, during the great crash of 2007 and 2008. But they're slowly growing back up. They're using some new technologies now. They have something called iTables, which has a smart shoe that reads the cards as they come out, but people bet electronically. So they bet electronic chips, and they can make a variety of side bets on those. We have, at Barona, we have the largest iTable pit in the world right now. We've got 12 tables. Some casinos in Vegas have tried to put them in, but they haven't worked because they haven't done the training and they haven't marketed these things properly. They're a great entry-level game for new blackjack players, in that you can have a $5 game and still make a profit because they have side wagers on there that have as high as anywhere between 2% and 6% bets on single dollar bets on the side, so the casino can still make some money and the players have some fun. So that's one of the things they're doing. They've got the rapid pits, which are really growing quickly right now, and that's where everybody bets on the same outcomes at a variety of terminals. And right now over in Genting Highlands and down in Melbourne, there are pits with hundreds of these devices based on baccarat games, where everybody's betting on same outcomes, but they only have to use one dealer. And that is the new coming thing. Within the next 5 years or so, you'll see basically stadiums of gambling where people are betting on a variety of different games, sitting at terminals while they eat, while they drink, and they can make these bets on different games throughout the casino while they sit there. Plus, of course, the mobile gaming is coming along as well.
You sound like a salesman for Shuffle Master.
Hardly. They are hardly my friend. I'm kind of a salesman for DEQ, and that's the other electronic betting gizmos that are out there. And they've got a game which I invented along with a guy named Stacy Friedman called Bad Beat Blackjack, where you can make a dollar side wager and you get paid bonuses up to and including a progressive jackpot. One just hit here at Verona yesterday for $48,000, when a player had he bet a dollar and the dealer drew a 7-card 21 against his 20, and it paid $48,000.
Did you ever play the
players?
But he lost his dollar bet.
Did you ever play the 6-7-8 blackjack progressive at North Shore Tahoe at the Kalaniva?
I have never played that one. I've played many of them. There's another one out there called Lucky Lucky that's very successful right now. That's really fun, and that's based upon your first two cards and the dealer's card, adding up to a total of 19 through 21. And that's a fun little bet. You can bet up to $50 on that side bet.
This was a
relatively small edge too. It's only around 2%.
Is there counting systems that work well for that?
No, not really. Some guys have tried some stuff, but it just doesn't work because most of the casinos require you to at least match your original wager. So because of that, you may have a count system, but that count system would rely on sixes, sevens, and eights.
Uh-huh.
So if the deck is heavy in sixes and sevens and eights, you don't want to be shoving out a lot of money on your original bet because those are very bad cards to be getting initially.
Agreed. And so if it's a 2% house edge, we wouldn't recommend anybody playing it, even if that's...
You wouldn't. You probably would not recommend people playing that, but if you had a bunch of tourists coming into town and they're betting $2 on it or a dollar on it, so what? Cost you 2 cents. Doesn't cost you much, and it's kind of fun. But as far as from your perspective of being a pro, no, those aren't good bets to make. And keep in mind, the casino will never offer you a bet that they think is a good bet for you. It's just that we tend to figure out what a good bet may happen to be, and then we make that bet. But they don't know it. Anytime they know you're making a good bet, Bob, nobody knows this better than you. If the casino thinks you've got an edge, they don't like you anymore.
Well, there are some couple of casinos this last week just told me that they didn't like me anymore. So damn you for bringing that up. Anyway.
Everybody likes me.
Ha. All right. Good. So, Max, thank you. It's a pleasure having you on. We're going to have you back in a couple of months if we can get a hold of you again. And
we should. I mean, you know, since we had him on, is there just any final thing you'd like to say that's important? Anything you want to plug?
It's just pay attention to what you hear on this show, because what you guys are telling people really works, and it just takes a little tiny bit of discipline to turn the tables on the casino.
Bless
just
you.
A little.
All right.
Thank you very much, Max.
Thank you, Max.
Okay, guys. Take care. Bye.
All right, you can take the see-through serape off now.
I can open my eyes. He is
smart guy.
He's smart and he's entertaining. On his website, maxrubin.net, he will he'll tell you that he'll do anything for money. If you want to have dinner with him, it costs you $5,000 and you buy dinner. If you want to have lunch with him, it's only $4,000 and you buy lunch. If you want to have breakfast with him, forget about it. He sleeps in. So I don't know how too many people take him up on that, but you don't need many. I think that's a good racket.
He does not trip over his words either. He's just seamless in his...
He's done this for a while.
I guess so.
Let me tell...
Oh, Yeah.
I want to talk about who's going to be on next week, but do you want to say something
else?
Well,
we got a couple minutes.
All right.
He was talking about how easy, that it just takes a little bit of dedication to turn the casino's advantage over.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really interesting post that I got on VP Free.
Yeah.
They actually emailed me privately, and I gave them a little advice on what to play and how to play it. And what they sent back was, yes, I know that you're giving me the best advice on how to win, but I just play for fun.
And you find that a contradiction, maybe?
Well, I didn't until I went back through their emails, and about a week and a half earlier, I got an email from them saying, what I really find fun about gambling is winning. I hate to go home a loser.
Uh-huh. So he wants to have fun, but he doesn't really want to go through the effort of winning.
Well,
but winning is fun.
If you actually translate what he said, inserting his definition of fun, what you get is, I know you're telling me the best way to win, but I'm not going to do it because I want to win.
And you think that's a contradiction?
I think pretty much anyone with a brain would think that was a contradiction. Now, obviously, something's not right here. He's not meaning what he said. But I did realize one interesting thing.
Hmm.
You get this a lot. I'm sure not half the people that are listening to the show right now are thinking, well, what they're doing, they're professional gamblers. And, I just gamble for fun. The thing is, actually, the end result's pretty much the same. Yes, for many, many years, I gambled to pay my rent. And I gambled to put food on my table. And I gambled to, put gas in my car and all the other necessities of life. And that requires winning. People that enjoy winning, that do it for fun, the end desired result is still winning.
Well, I think when people say they're doing it for fun, what they mean is they think doing it optimally requires more work than they're willing to put in. So they enjoy the process of it, and they enjoy the gambling, the ups and downs, but to get good at it, they think it's too hard or too something. So I think that's what they mean. And I don't think he would find a contradiction that they like winning, but doing it exactly 100% right is too tough.
But of course, what I'm saying, though, is what pros want to do is win.
Well, everybody wants to win, but the question is, how much are you willing to do
to us, it's not fun. To us, it's just collecting our paycheck on Friday, but that doesn't really make the advice that would be good for a pro. It's still good for somebody that just does it for fun.
Well, actually, I kind of thought I had fun doing what I'm doing. But let's go on.
Okay.
Next week, I, Nelson Rose, he is a gaming legal expert. His book is called Gambling and the Law. It's written a couple decades ago, and there have been numerous books in between, including books on gambling on the Internet. Now, next week, he's going to be talking about the latest in the U.S. government trying to shut down some online poker sites. So some are giving the players back money, and some aren't yet. And some are filing for bankruptcy. And I. Nelson Rose is going to be telling us what the latest is on that. He has something that he calls it the third wave of gambling. Now, he sent some... he sent us some articles that he's written on these things, and we're posting it on Frank's website, progressivevp.com, and so you may want to check it out. So he's one of the big experts. Now, in 2 weeks, we're having Michael Shackelford on again. Michael was on he was our very first guest on the show back in early February, and he's going to be our first repeat guest. And what he's going to be talking about is there's this online casino called Easy Street Sports. And a player won $40-some thousand, and they refused to pay him unless he went to Costa Rica to take a lie detector test. Now, there's been disagreements as to whether or not that was a reasonable thing for them to do. Michael personally thinks it's outrageous. The first time I told Frank about this a couple weeks ago, he goes, that seems reasonable to have him do. But anyway, there's a difference of opinion on it, so we're going to tell you all about it. And and you can make up your own opinion, but it's an interesting story.
Well, I don't just disagree with you to disagree with you. From what it sounds like, he broke the rules of the website. They said not to.
And we'll tell you about what those rules were in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're just doing a teaser on this one.
I am doing a teaser.
Okay. Does that mean we can talk about the first and second wave of gambling?
I think Mr. Rose will be happy to talk about first, second, and the fourth one if he sees it's coming.
So what did you want to end the show with here? We got about 5 minutes left.
Actually, I thought the do we want to talk a little bit more about our new sponsor next week, or is that a cat that we can't let too much out of the bag? When you started posting about it on VP Free, I sent you emails and saying, shut up about this already. It's not guaranteed yet.
But it is guaranteed now. The ink is dry, isn't that right?
It's they're actually looking for parts to build it. So it's supposed to be out in a couple weeks, but we're going to be telling people all about it next week.
Well, I think what we should say is this actually came about because people on VP Free sent me emails asking me to stand up and be the casino, you know, a spokesperson for our industry and to let casinos know that the players weren't happy. And amazingly, I said, you know, I did so. And the casinos went, yeah, okay, that sounds reasonable. So what should we do about it? Which was about the last reaction that I certainly expected, you know.
It happened to be the first casino we asked.
First casino we asked.
Said, okay, we can do this. And so the price was they're going to be a sponsor. And so.
You know what's going to happen now, right?
I don't know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen is since we've had success, you know, on our first try, it doesn't matter how good that's going to be. We're going to get inundated with emails going, do more, do more, do more. You know?
Well, yeah, and actually be careful what you wish for. When this, if this goes down, if this, this is a good deal for players, and some players are going to find it to be not such a good deal. It's going to be, some players are going to be very happy with this, and some players are going to lose a lot of money. And the ones who lose a lot of money just may not be Dancer Nealon fans.
Ah, well, but that's fluctuation. You can.
Well, some people handle fluctuation better than others. Some people aren't really friends with fluctuation. If they can accept it in general, but it's when their losing streak happens, it's the world is a black place.
But you can't predict them. And
be that as it may, when it happens to certain people, they get very angry, and that's kind of and a lot of it. Gamblers tend to be complainers. A lot of video poker players, if they're not complaining, they're not happy.
So you're actually worried that as a result of putting in this positive game, people will play it and not have a positive result and be upset?
Oh, there'll be a lot of players without a positive result. So even though you have a theoretically positive result, many players are going to lose. Now, overall, players are going to have a chance to win. And it's going to be an over 100% game. But the way it works is they're going to players have to lose in order for other players to do it. So that's and they're going to lose faster than they
used
to.
We'll talk more about this next week and then we'll announce the official. But bottom line, if you folks had not asked for this, it would not have happened. So this is actually your feedback, which has changed the industry.
So it's their fault.
Huh?
So it's our listeners' fault for asking for this.
We're giving them what they asked for.
Oh, dear. So be careful what you ask for.
I guess that is the moral here. Well, here's our funny show close.
All right, go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody.
Some ask, so is it all gambling all the time at Gambling with an Edge? Or do you involve yourself with community activities and programs? Well, yes, we do. Frank is currently involved in several startup charities. He'd like to start a halfway house for girls that won't go all the way. As an alternative to AA, which preaches total abstinence, he'd like to found A for people looking to only drink half as much. He's also putting together a petition to help end the suffrage of women. Not because he knows what it means, but just because he thought it sounded bad. And in perhaps his most successful campaign, he's trying to help starving children by taking food away from the overfed ones. Summarized best with his campaign slogan, "Hey fatty, save some for somebody else." Bob is also extremely active in the community and has been known to drive through it in excess of 45 miles per hour. He also devotes several hours a week to an underprivileged, mentally challenged person. And Frank is very grateful for it. For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website VideoPoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
West Side.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
You haven't experienced intelligent radio until you experience the Insonic Quotient.
They're saying, oh, we have to tone down the rhetoric. We have to be more thoughtful in our presentations. And at the same time, they're engaging in ad hominem attacks on people with whom they disagree. In terms of political philosophy, one is worse than the other. It's all bad.
The Insonic Quotient. Intelligent radio.
Ron Insana. Weekday mornings 4 to 6. On the Business Talk of Las Vegas. KLAV.
Hi, I'm Duke Liberatore.
And I'm Dr. Jan McBaron.
We are a husband and wife team.
And together we host the number one health talk show in the nation,
Duke and the Doctor.
You can hear our show weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. here on KLAV 1230 a.m.
We'll discuss up-to-date health news, give away gifts, share in a laugh or two, and answer health questions from our callers.
Don't miss Stay Healthy Las Vegas with Jeff Burke from 8 to 9 a.m. Feel happy, healthy, and terrific when you tune in to Duke and the Doctor.
Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on KLAV.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Help is what we're here for. I'm Frank Napoli. Join us on the Frank Napoli Real Estate Hotline with real estate, law, and mortgage information. Be current on what's happening in real estate today. Learn how to protect yourself in the current market. Call in with questions. We have the answers. Monday through Friday, 11 to 12. Be there.
Hey, it's Schnitt. Thrilled to be on the air in Las Vegas on KLAV 1230 AM, the Talk of Las Vegas. Join me every Monday through Friday from noon to 2 p.m. If you're tired of the same old blah, blah, blah talk radio in Las Vegas, then tune into the Schnitt Show. Las Vegans, if you want to hear a brand new, fresh opinion on conservative political talk, keep the dial locked in on 1230 AM KLAV or listen to me live online at KLAV1230AM.com.
Hello, this is Matt with Finley RV. Join me every Friday at 3 p.m. with the RVing Adventures radio show. I'll take you on a little adventure every Friday afternoon and discuss all the best places to travel with you and your RV. RVing Adventures is a way of life. If you love RVing as much as I do, then you'll tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. and let the traveling begin. The United States has so many wonderful places to get away to, and Finley RV has your vehicle to get you on the road to your next adventure. Stories, RV questions, and lots of fond memories every Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KLAV.
Are you fed up with high energy bills? Do you have rooms that are always hotter or colder than the rest of your home? Does someone in your family suffer from asthma or other respiratory problems? My name is Kevin Sipes, and I host Energy Saving Solutions. Join me and our special guests every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on KLAV AM 1230, where we will be discussing topics including energy conservation, building performance, energy independence, and living a greener, more sustainable lifestyle.
Las Vegans, you say you need affordable legal advice? How about some free advice? Tune in to Law by Barry Wednesdays 3 to 4 p.m. on KLAV. Just call 731-1230. That's 731-1230. And attorney Barry Levinson will take your questions on legal matters including bankruptcy, loan modifications, personal injury, and more. Remember, tune in to Law by Barry Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on KLAV. And if you want help now, call Barry's office at 836-9696.
Cosmetic plastic surgery. Everyone has heard of it, but what is it? Hi, I'm Dr. Gordon, and I will be hosting a new show on plastic surgery Wednesdays at 4 p.m. right here at KLAV 1230 on your AM radio dial. Come explore with me the excitement of cosmetic plastic surgery for adults and children. Topics will be discussed for the first 1/2 hour, following which phone lines will be open. It's all right here, Wednesdays at 4 p.m.
Hi there, this is Sammy Hagar here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. Now, style's a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody else's business. Please, plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Because friends do not let friends drive drunk.
A public service message.